The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, in cooperation with the Institute for Priestly Formations, presents Father Walter Nolte in conversation with our host, Chris McGregor, on the topic of mentoring priests into full spiritual maturity. Father Nolte is pastor of St. Patrick Church, Fremont, Nebraska.
Welcome, Father Nolte.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be here.
Talk to us, if you would, about the relationship in that priestly fraternity, the relationship that can foster and guide those who are in this very unique journey that you share together.
Sure. Well, yeah, the priesthood is a unique calling as far as it's a vocation to the life of celibate, but your father, your brother, your friend, the community, and the calling within that, sometimes it can be a lonely life, and it's necessary to have brothers and men that you can share, that will understand your journey, where you can say something and right away they understand what you mean. You don't have to explain all the ins and outs of the situation, but you can talk to them. And so the fraternity is so important as far as in being able to share your heart. As I think about the fraternal growth of the church itself, how Jesus would send out the brothers, the apostles, two by two. So there was always been an importance of being together on the journey, not being alone. You know, we're taught in our society to be independent, to buck up, to take it, and not always taught to share it. And so in the priesthood, what I've been learning, I've just been a priest for 14 years, is the need to share my heart with another brother priest so that they can not only give me counsel and advice, but that they can intercede for me and that we can intercede together. And so what I've been seeing in that is how much, as I've had two different pastors that I've been associates with and had the benefit of some other priests as directors, and hearing their journey and hearing the different perspectives of how to deal prayerfully with the ins and outs and the busyness of parish life. And so that's been so important. And then on occasion, having seminarians come in and to experience, just in the summer months, they can experience some of that busyness, but they can experience, I think, primarily the fraternity of praying together, of having meals together, and of sharing together. Well, this is what happened today, and this is how I responded. How should I have responded? You know, that's kind of how I, as growing up as a priest, and even now, would continue to bounce the days off another priest to say, all right, how do we deal with this? How do we meet people where they are and then still bring them to Christ at the same time?
It seems to me that it would have to be relationships that really stem from a desiring heart for that fraternity, mm-hmm. and it's steeped in prayer, because as you know, we're all created so different, and
right.
Even in that priestly fraternity, you all have different personalities,
sure.
and likes, yeah. and ways of expressing yourselves.
Right. No, it'd be very, you're right, Chris, it'd be very easy for us to isolate. I mean, the life is so busy, you could work 15, 16-hour days and go to sleep and get up and do the same thing and be justified in saying, well, I didn't have time to reach out to you. But it's just in making the time to be with each other, is what we're finding. And what I hear from older priests who are seeing the younger generation, they're warning us and advising us, saying, hey, we used to take times to have meal together. We used to take an afternoon just to spend. That was part of our work day. So it's maybe redefining what a work day means, you know, not just for fraternal gathering as well, but for prayer, to be able to allow ourselves the permission to spend time with the brother priest, and that's part of our mission. That's part of our serving the parish, is when we grow as priests, when we grow as brothers in our role as Christ bearer, bringing the Eucharist to our people, then we become a better father, we become a better brother, we become a better friend to our people, I think, and to each other.
You know, I'm recalling Monsignor David Toops had written a book for the Institute of Priestly Formation called Reclaiming the Priestly Character. Mm-hmm. And in it, he talked about a very real situation, which, because of the reforms in the church and a time of growth, there seemed to be a period of where you could maybe identify the priests that were before Vatican II that had a different understanding of priesthood.
Sure.
You had that group that came right afterwards that had more, maybe, not all cases, but in some cases, that identity as a priest or a parish manager in some ways. This is what I do. And then there's the other those who have come maybe after, can we say, John Paul II?
Certainly, yeah.
And so you've got these three different possible dynamics playing in any diocese.
Right.
What has been your experience given that potential experience of each other?
Yeah, that's a very good observation that you have. There is, you know, the sometimes there can be conflicts or between brother priests as when you come from the different schools of thought or different schools of formation of what it means to be a parish priest. And John Paul II and most definitely was my biggest influence. You know, he was, for many of us, a priest my age, he was the only pope we knew for a long time. From, I think he was elevated to the papacy when I was in fifth grade. So, you know, so I watched him and I observed him. And having wanted to be a priest, I saw a man of the people who was a man of prayer. And I think, and I've been recalling Pope Francis's encouragement a few years back now to smell like your sheep. And that's, you know, just how beautiful, how simple those words are. You know, at first when you hear them, what's that mean, smell like your sheep? And then as you think of it, it means to be with your people, to be out there, to meet them where they are, to be a brother, to be approachable, not to be isolated in your rectory or behind your desk. You know, type of priest is what I was hearing Pope Francis encourage me to be as a younger priest. And so that's where I've been striving to be. And that's what I've been, you know, you heard me mention being father, being brother, and being friend, and really striving for all those roles not to be separate, but to be one who I am as a priest, as an ordained priest for God and for His church, to live from that, from the identity of being Christ in the world, how Christ, He went out, He was always going to see people. He was always going to other towns and healing and just being present with them. I'm always moved in Scripture when it says He saw them, you know, mm-hmm. just to see the people. It didn't mean he was aloof to their presence or to their needs, but He saw the needs of their heart. And as a priest, I don't feel I can see the needs of someone's heart if I don't know them. If I'm not going to the games, I'm not going to whatever events are going on in the parish and talking to them and listening. Mm-hmm. And not being challenged by what they say, but receiving what they say and listening and hearing how can I be a better priest? How can I be a better father for you? And brother friend, what is it that you need so you can encounter Christ in your own life? You know, just, when we can be comfortable in our own skin as priests in our humanity and our weaknesses and our strengths, I think then we can teach others to do the same, not by words so much, but by example. Just kind of allowing them to see, hey, I have the same struggles as this person, and that person was a saint, or, you know, father struggles with, I can see father, he struggles with this once in a while, but he takes it to God. So that's what I think we're supposed to do. We're not perfect men. None of us are, and nor are the apostles, but God calls us in our imperfections to be his voice, to be his heart. And as you mentioned, different styles of leadership, different styles of being a priest, but in all those, God is calling us uniquely in ourselves to be the priest to the people that our shepherds send us to, you know, whatever parish that may be.
It is a wonderful opportunity that a bishop has early in the priest's life to be able to possibly pair a priest up as an assistant or associate with a pastor that not only needs his help, of course, but also can help guide them. And I'm sure bishops take a great care in that. But then after that time comes and that young associate now begins to pastor, there can be a danger, can't there, especially for that priest who has to be, say, maybe in a rural situation or even an urban one, that he has no assistants.
Right.
And so he gets so busy. How can priests then continue to guide and mentor through those particular periods?
As far as when there's the struggle with the job at hand and not being just solely about the job, but about the vocation. Well, it definitely is a challenge, and that's where support groups come in. That's where, as you mentioned, mentoring. As priests, we're each asked by Archbishop in a very strong way to be part of a support group that we meet once a month. So some groups are called Jesu Caritas, some are just called fraternal groups, but we meet and we challenge each other to be better. I'm in a group, and every time we start our meeting, after we have prayer and a holy hour, we answer three questions: what's going on, what don't you want us to know, and what are you hiding from us? So just that there are the three levels of intimacy, three different levels of intimacy to go from the very easy, but then what's the hardest thing to share? What struggles are you going on with in your prayer life? Are you praying? Are you going to confession? All those things, and to challenge each other. And we've given each other permission to challenge the other if they see us, if any one of us see the other falling off track, just to be okay with being challenged and know it's not a lack of love for the brother, but out of love saying, I think there's some things going on. How can I help you, you know, in the same way? And so I think that's very helpful, you know. And then even you mentioned being paired up, that typically you'll have one or two assignments with a pastor, maybe more with a different pastor. And so then even going from one leadership style to the next is always a challenge, or it can be a challenge. But I think the question that we always as priests have to ask ourselves is, what do you have for me in this? Lord, what do you want me to see in this man you've called me to be my pastor, to really be my boss, for lack of a better word, in this role? And what can I learn? And I think even as pastors, when we have associates, to say, all right, this priest is challenging me, and what are you having me learn from him being here? Again, that notion of being brother. Because we can't learn to be father if we're not first brother and friend. You know, that's all part of the dynamic, I think.
What I'm hearing you say, the role of being a good listener,
yes,
yeah, is really, really vital, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, a listener and not waiting for someone to finish talking, but to be truly engaged in what they're saying and to hear what they're not saying as well. Level of heart, you know, to notice, to be someone who notices. Again, Jesus noticed the people around him. He saw the needs of their heart and responded to it. I think that builds relationships, not just among us as brother priests, but with our people. When a priester knows that he or she has been noticed and that the needs of their heart is a concern of their pastor or their associate pastor, that opens up their world to Christ in a new way that if we don't respond that way, if we're not open, they can't be open. Mm-hmm. So I think in a very real way, we as shepherds have to go first where we're wanting our people to go, mm-hmm. I think.
Father Nolte, that listening and hearing has to be accompanied in a very real way by trust, doesn't
sure,
it?
Sure, it does.
On both sides. And that you use the term relationship, and isn't that ultimately the heart of the Trinity?
It is.
It's about relationship, isn't it?
Right. And it's about relationship and always trusting that the other has your best interest at heart, mm-hmm. and knowing that the desire is the same, just to be in love with the other, you know, mm-hmm. through Christ. And one of the things that I found in my own priesthood that has helped me in this, and I always direct my directees or seminarians who come to me, or now I have an associate for the first time now, is have you consecrated yourself to Mary? Mm. She's the perfect mm-hmm. listener, the perfect ponderer who takes all things in and then responds. And what I've found, I think by now I've consecrated myself 15 years in a row, and every year I sense our mother's love more and more. I've always known it was there, but the deeper she takes me into the love, into the what I call the wounded side of her son that she hides me there, I think, the better... I think the better listener that she's making me, and the better able I am to see maybe with the eyes of Christ, because, you know, she formed him, literally formed him in her womb. So what better person to have formed me as a priest than Our Lady herself? And so that's, I think it's just so important for us as priests to have consecrated ourselves to Mary.
Almost leaves me speechless to the extent that the imaging of all of that is so beautiful. I mean, it's very much what Jesus did with mm-hmm. one of the very first priests,
right?
When he gave John to his beloved mother,
right? And absolutely, so. And even the father started. I trust the high priest to you, Mary. Now form other priests. You know, it's beautiful. And the beauty in this is at my former parish, I just got transferred, so, but in the last parish, we consecrated ourselves 5 years ago to Our Lady, the entire parish mission, everything. And it's phenomenal, the difference in the life of my life, not just my life as a father and as a brother and as a friend, but the life of the parish, how different it is when Jesus is more present. And seminarians who would stay with me for summers would sense it. And you wouldn't tell them, but people could feel it. And brother priests who come in and have mass, there they can feel it. And how Our Lady does that. And that's, as a father, as a shepherd, I mean, that's always why I just say, go to Mary first, and she's going to take you to Jesus. And then that's how we get formed. That's how we become concerned about brother priest. The beautiful scene of Mary at Mary and the apostles at Pentecost and her teaching them about the Holy Spirit is what I think that she brings us together as brothers, even though there's a division, a difference, in the seminaries we went to in our training, in our years of formation. We're loved the same, and we're formed by the same mother. And that in that bond, and there's a unity and a solidarity through her in Christ. And then, you know, because we don't know who we are until we know who we are in Christ. And she's always taking us there. She's always hiding us there.
Well, now there's trust again, because there is, I think we can say, for some, a resistance to Our Lady.
Sure.
And maybe that's because of there wasn't a lot of emphasis on her role in our lives, maybe in their families, or maybe even in the seminary they might have attended. So that mentoring, just into relationship with Our Lady, it's so much more than just any program that we can try to engage in.
Sure. That's it. It's not a program. It's a way of life. It's not only encountering Christ's mercy yourself through her motherly hand, but it's allowing others to encounter Christ in you. That's where evangelization takes place. You know, it's being so transformed that you become the message. You're not preaching the message. You are the message. That's what took place in the apostles, and I think that's the fire that takes place in our hearts. And when we as pastors who have associates, when they can see that truth in us, that we're living from that truth, they're going to desire it. Then when they have associates, they're going to desire that as well from the mentor of their pastor. And then when we have seminarians the same way, let's do this. Let's live this together. This is real. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it doesn't make sense sometimes, you know, whatever the day brings you. But ponder with Mary. Ask Mary to help you find Christ in that's hidden sometimes in the muck of life. And he's there, and then we can lead our people there.
Beautiful. Well, Father Nolte, I wish we had more time. But in closing, particularly on this area of walking in that fraternal friendship, mentoring with other members of the priesthood, what would your final thoughts be?
I think you need to believe. With all things, with God, all things are possible, and to believe that we're loved beyond all reckoning. There's nothing that we can say or do that's going to cause us for God to love us any more than He already does. That it's always right there, and to act for that from that truth. And if we don't feel that truth effectively, sometimes to ask God the Father in Jesus' name to increase our heart knowledge of how much we're loved, of how much the Father delights in us. And then for the courage to act from that truth and to be bold in our faith, unafraid.
Absolutely. Yeah. Be not afraid.
Right.
All right. Thank you so much, Father Nolte.
You're welcome. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for listening. There are more resources for you on the IPF website. Just click on the Resources button and find IPF publications, videos, talks, and more features to assist you in your priestly life and ministry.